Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is a classic pre-war one-bedroom, one-bath. Oh, the cleaning lady's here. Please come back later. No Polish.
I live here. What are you doing?
Oh, haven't you heard? The building's going condo. If you're planning on buying, I'm Wendy. We should talk.
Well, I'm not buying, and they can't just kick me out.
No, they can't, but they can hike your rent up way up.
Tina Fey as Liz Lemon on 30 Rock. And what would she ask if she could consult a tenants' rights expert? Our family meeting on rent continues with a chance for you to do just that. Joining me now is Jaron Benjamin. He's the executive director of the Metropolitan Council on Housing, which helps tenants organize to stand up for their individual rights and also for changes to our housing policies in New York City. Thanks for joining us this morning, Jaron. Hey.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And we will open up the line for renters with questions about your rights. What do you want to know about your landlord's legal obligations, rent hikes, stabilization, or are you confused about how to find a stabilized or subsidized apartment, that rare find in the city? Call in and ask our guest, 212-433-9692. For Jaron Benjamin, executive director of the Metropolitan Council on Housing. Oh, look how quickly the lines build up. Ha, ha, ha. 212-433-9692. As people conclude their question and answer sessions with Jaron and vacate their lines, we'll start with Janet in the Bronx. Hi, Janet. You're on WNYC. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi. Sure can.
Hi. I've been trying to look for an apartment, and I've been encountering things that I'm not happy with. Like the landlords ask for information like social security numbers, birth certificates, 401k slips, even for like children, like even 6-year-old and 5-year-old. And also they ask for extra fees above the security fees, like what they call super fees.
Okay.
And I thought security was meant for that. So after I have the apartment and I'm happy with it, then I'm disenchanted with all these hidden things that they come up with.
Right. And you say you're in the Bronx, correct?
Yeah, and then the other thing is leases. Can people get out of their leases at certain points, and that's it?
So for the first question, I think it depends on whether you're looking at rent-stabilized apartments. If you're looking at rent-stabilized apartments, in order to move in, the landlord can charge the first month's rent and security deposit, which is equal to the first month's rent, and nothing else. Now, if it's an unregulated apartment, which there are a lot of market rate or unregulated apartments out in New York City, then the landlord basically, or whoever is renting the apartment, can give you a set of terms. And it's up to you whether you want to meet those terms or not. Yes?
How do you know what's the difference if there are a certain,
well,
you just said the two words?
Here's the tough part. You can ask the landlord. You can ask the landlord. They may or may not tell you. If you suspect that it may be rent stabilized, some of the things that you can do is you can go online and look at the rent guidelines board, nycrgb.org. Look at their website, and they actually have a database, not of individual apartments that are rent stabilized, but buildings with the rent stabilized apartments in them. You can also look at the lease. If the lease says at the top, pursuant to rent stabilization code, there's a really good chance that that's rent stabilized. But that sounds really fishy, asking for a lot of unnecessary information when all you want to do is.
And Janet, you're so disenchanted that you want to get out of your lease early, and therefore the question is how to get your security deposit back, right?
Well, no, I just wanted to. I can't find an apartment because everybody else is asking for so much information. But at the same time, I have to get out of the place that I'm in. So how can I stay here without signing a new lease and still get out to get the other apartment when I find something
new? Yeah, so that's rough. You can't really break a lease. If you leave your apartment, I mean, it's like breaking a contract. That's the rough part about it. So there's really not a good way to break your lease. You can go to the landlord and say, listen, I found another spot. I found another place that I'd rather live, and I would love to be able to end this amicably and see if the landlord will let you out of the lease.
And I once had a situation where we knew that was coming up, and the landlord agreed to rent to me month to month, knowing that I would leave, but that I would give him 30 days notice.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's that amicable, you know, you'd have to get a little bit lucky.
Yeah.
But I guess you could at least raise the question. Is there a risk in asking the question? Because then he might just evict you when your lease is up because he said, well, she's a short timer.
Well, I mean, it seems like she wants to leave anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Right. But she doesn't want to be
right
in between without any place to go.
I think that's where it's up to, you know, it's up to Janet to whether, you know, whatever she feels like is the best way to go. It's up to her discretion.
I want to, Janet, thank you and good luck. I want to follow up on something that came up in that conversation, which is that she didn't know if she's in a rent-stabilized apartment.
Right.
There are a million rent-stabilized apartments.
Literally.
Still, in New York City, even as landlords do everything they can to get them destabilized using all the loopholes in the law. But one of the most common questions I think that people have is, do I even know if my apartment is protected in some way with respect to rent if the landlord himself doesn't tell me?
Right. That's something that a lot of even born and bred New Yorkers don't know whether they're living in a rent-stabilized apartment or not. The best way to – there are two really good ways to find out. One, to look at your lease and see if it says anything about rent stabilization in the lease. So that's a pretty good clue there. The second is to call New York State Homes and Community Renewal. So HCR is what we call it in the trade. You can call them, give them your address, and ask if they have records, if it's been registered with HCR. If it's been registered under the rent stabilization, then there's a really good chance it's rent stabilized still.
And we have a link to HCR on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show and to Met Council. Let's try Tori in Greenpoint. Tori, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your rent question?
My question is that I have been living in the same apartment for 7 years. I've had lots of different roommates over the years, and I've always been the same one on the lease. And I just signed a 2-year lease last summer, and my building was sold in December. And just recently, a couple months ago, my boyfriend moved in with me and my other roommate, and I informed my landlord. And he said that he would maybe have to raise the rent $100 if our water and sewage levels went up. And I just don't – that doesn't sound super legal to me. So I just wanted to know what my rights were.
Yeah, so it does not sound – it sounds a little fishy to me too. Is there anything in the lease that says something about raising those rates if more people move in?
Nothing about that. And I've tried to look up if my apartment's rent stabilized. I don't think it is. But my rent has only gone up $80 since I moved in 7 years ago. And right now it's at $2,500. And I just didn't know if that was a level that was a kind of where they could just like raise it whenever they wanted.
Right. So a unit that is that's rent stabilized can be destabilized once it's vacant and $2,500 a month. Right now it's occupied in $2,500 a month. So, you know, there is a chance that it could be stabilized. I mean, just because the landlord isn't upping the rent whenever possible doesn't mean that it's not stabilized. But I guess there are a couple of questions that I have for you. How many people are on the lease originally? Was it just you?
Myself and my roommate, and we've been living there together for 2 years, and it's been just us for the last year. But before it was just us, there were always three people in the apartment. And sometimes there were three people on lease, sometimes there were two. But I have always been on the lease for the last 7 years.
Right. So you're saying that sometimes there are three people on the lease, sometimes two. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And we've subleased. We have had people there that were not on the lease. And the landlord before the current one never cared or said anything about it as long as the rent was on time.
Yeah. So here's just a couple of things I want to clarify. One, a roommate is somebody who is not on a lease but is paying you money for rent. A co-tenant is somebody who's on the lease with you. And then, you know, you might have a sublease, which is a whole nother ballgame. So I just want to make sure you understand that there's a difference between co-tenants and roommates. And if you're going to have a roommate, you can just ask the landlord. If it was okay with the previous landlord, the new landlord inherits everything, including every contract, every lease, everything that the previous landlord had. So whatever agreement you have with the previous landlord is the agreement you should have now.
Even a word-of-mouth agreement to be able to let somebody stay in a word-of-mouth roommate situation?
Here's something that we say at Met Council. If you don't have it in writing, it may not have happened. So everything that I – whenever I give somebody advice, whether it's interaction with their landlord or making a request to DHCR, always keep a written record. If you send mail, send it certified mail so you have a copy and know that people got your correspondence.
Tori, good luck. Kevin in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
My concern is that I've been living in this apartment since the 90s. We never had any major renovations done, and our kitchen cabinets are cracked, and the linoleum on the counters are cracked up also for wear and tear. And I was just wondering, is it the tenant or the landlord's responsibility to have some type of maintenance done to those things, given the amount of time, almost 20 years?
So any repairs are always the landlord's responsibility. Just to go a little bit further, it depends on, you know, a couple of things depend on whether you're rent stabilized or market rate. If you're a rent stabilized tenant and you need new cabinets, they need to be repaired, or say that you even need new cabinets because they can't be repaired, I always suggest that people ask for a used but working condition replacement, because that won't force what's called an individual apartment increase, which would be a permanent increase to your rent.
Because if the landlords make certain kinds of permanent improvements, then they have the right to hike the rent a certain amount.
Exactly. So if you need a new refrigerator, or if you need a refrigerator, your current refrigerator is broken and you're a rent-stabilized tenant, you should ask your landlord for a used but good condition refrigerator.
Because if they buy a new refrigerator, just a new refrigerator to replace a dead refrigerator,
yes,
that counts as a permanent improvement that can increase your rent?
A certain percentage of the cost of that refrigerator will be tacked on permanently to your rent and for forever. That rent goes up forever. If it's used, however, it doesn't.
I once bought a refrigerator of my choice in an apartment I was renting and just bypassed the landlord altogether, so I didn't get some garbage refrigerator that the landlord wanted to put in. I thought I was going to be there for years, and you know, I went out and got my refrigerator. So, of course, that's an expense.
Did you take the new refrigerator with you when you left?
Boy, that's a great question. I think the answer is no.
Okay.
But I was there for many years afterwards.
All right. Yeah, that's actually, I don't think that's a bad idea. If you're willing to put out that money, you don't think that your landlord's going to give you.
Actually, I take it back. We did take the refrigerator.
Okay. I think that's
it was my
idea.
Refrigerator.
It was your refrigerator.
So anyway, there are various ways to skin that cat.
Yeah.
But I have to say that Kevin's question plays into what I think is the most common question that people ask about their landlord-tenant relationship, at least when we were surveying folks this past week about what we should ask you in this segment. The perennial question seemed to be, what can tenants do if their landlords aren't responding to requests for repairs? Is that the number one question that you get at Met Council?
That is one of the number one questions we get. During cold months, it's about heat and hot water, but it's always about whether the landlord is offering services in a timely manner. So I think there's a process to this. I think the first step is to notify the landlord. And I would, again, do this in a letter, send certified mail with a return receipt so you know your landlord got it. Then if that doesn't work, if you don't have it in writing, it may not have happened. If that doesn't work, I would suggest that people call 311 and file a complaint that you have something wrong with your apartment and your landlord hasn't fixed the issue. If this doesn't work, if you have to keep calling, keep sending letters, keep filing complaints, then you can take your landlord to court, to a housing court, and file what's called an HP action. And this is a good way to get your landlord's attention if they haven't been paying attention to you before.
Miriam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Jaron Benjamin from the Met Council on Housing.
To say I enjoyed your program immensely.
Thank you, ma'am.
But this reason I'm calling, I'm having trouble trying to get my security deposit. I moved after living in that apartment for about 5 years. I paid my rent on time. I kept it clean. Now, after I moved, they told me I cannot get my security deposit because I did not notify them that I was moving.
Hmm. Was it the end of the lease?
Yes.
Okay. So it was the end of the lease. You didn't notify them. Did you? Are you rent? Were you in a rent stabilized apartment?
Yes, the city did notify them that okay. I was moving.
Okay.
So I don't see any reason. To me, that's the technicality. Mm-hmm.
Did you actually? Did you give your landlord 30 days notice that you were moving?
No, I didn't, but the city did, Section 8, and I told the super that I was moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a technicality, that I still, I will get my money because I'm not working, and that's legally my deposit.
Right.
And it has to be returned back to me.
So you have a Section 8, what's called a sticky voucher, right? The voucher comes with you when you move, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the issue. Typically, when someone doesn't get their security deposit back, we tell people that they're going to have to take their landlord to small claims court. Because it's Section 8, you know, there's a possibility you may want to follow up with Section 8 to see if they notified within a timely manner, because the error may have been on Section 8's end. It also could be your landlord trying to pull a fast one.
Can she take the landlord to small claims court hiring a lawyer and incurring that expense?
Yeah, you can take your landlord to small claims court if you're willing to do that.
And sometimes the landlord, if it's a small enough amount of money, will decide that it's not worth his time
right.
to go show up in small claims court, and he'll just give her security deposit.
That is correct.
So that's the best hope. Miriam, I hope that helps you. I think there's an embedded piece of advice here, though, for other people to avoid the ambiguity in her situation,
right.
which is don't give your notice to your super. Give it to your landlord.
Correct. And with rent-stabilized apartments, your landlord is required to send you a lease renewal 150 days before the lease expires. You have 60 days to make a decision on whether you want to renew your lease at a one-year or two-year increase. Usually it's a rent increase. Although this year with the Rent Guidelines Board, there may not be an increase for a one-year lease renewal.
And with Jaron Benjamin, Executive Director of the Metropolitan Council on Housing, Robert in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hello. Robert. Hi, Robert.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your question?
Well, here's my question. I have a little bit of an odd situation. I'm in a unregulated apartment in a building that's mostly stabilized. And after the last round of improvements, there was litigation between the stabilized tenants and the landlord over the valuation. In that case, apparently they raised the question of whether the unregulated apartments were properly deregulated. And I guess it was serious enough so that they sent me and I guess a few others of us the legal papers from the case. I have the rent stabilization, the rent history for the apartment, but I don't know how to get further information on why and how it was deregulated, I know when, without alerting my landlord, because I don't have a stabilized lease, I don't have a right to renewal, so I don't want to become a target.
Right.
Robert, I'm just curious. Do you happen to know from looking at the rent history the difference between the old stabilized rent that the last tenant was paying and what you are now being asked to pay as an unstabilized tenant?
It's a very large difference, but the apartment was taken off a number of years ago.
I see.
All right.
And so the question is, was it removed from the rent-stabilized rolls legally or illegally? How can he prove it?
Right. Now, this is always an interesting situation. So landlords are required to register rent-stabilized apartments with HCR. However, they sometimes don't. They sometimes just stop registering the apartments. What was the last legal rent? Do you remember? What was the dollar amount?
I don't remember, but it was under $2,000 a month.
It was under $2,000 a month. And what year was that?
Probably the late 90s.
Okay. If it's under $2,000 a month and in the late 90s, until 2010 or 2011, the destabilization rate, the threshold was $2,000 a month. So there's a chance that it might have been legally deregulated. I mean, I think that what you can, you would have to then, you know, HCR, whoever would have to go to your landlord and ask for records, which, you know, might make you a target. But I would say just from a glance, and this is just I don't have all the information in front of me, but just at a glance, I would say that, you know, it seems like it might have been deregulated legally.
Robert, good luck. Taibu in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello. Is it Taibu? Let's try to come back to Taibu and go to Lenny in Park Slope. Lenny, you're on WNYC.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call, and it's a little bit overwhelming. It's super stressful after living in an apartment for the last 10 years to get a 30-day vacate notice.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's due to the fact that what's happening here in Park Slope is a lot of buildings are being bought up, and then the apartments of people who are either in rent-stabilized apartments or not fair market value apartments are getting kicked out. The buildings, the apartments getting renovated and charged fair market value. being that I've been in an apartment and I have a lease from 2004, there's two things. I found out through an attorney that I'm actually in a rent-stabilized apartment, which I'm paying fair market value for. And also there's a rider underneath a clause that says that I have the right to either 90 or 120 days for, I think it's the renewal. The question is, if indeed I am paying the overage on a rent-stabilized apartment, who is then responsible to pay back those if, let's say, it were to go to court?
Your landlord would be responsible for paying that money. Again,
Would it be the current landlord?
Yes.
Because the building has just been flipped.
It would be the current landlord because, again, when you buy the building, you buy everything, including past mistakes that the previous landlord may have made. So the current landlord is responsible for everything. You should look into filing a rent overcharge form with HCR.
And if it is a rent-stabilized apartment, then they can't just give him either
right.
a 30-day or a 100-day, any yes. kind of eviction
It's only
notice.
One-year lease or a two-year lease. There's no 120-day lease, no 150-day lease.
There's no evicting a rent-stabilized tenant who's paying their rent, or is there?
Well, so there can be. There are a couple of situations that can get a rent-stabilized tenant evicted. So an illegal sublet, overcharging a roommate, so if you have one roommate charging them more than half of the rent, or there's a broad category of being a nuisance.
Right, but he would have to have committed one
yes.
of those acts.
Yes.
And
he
it sounds like the new landlord just wants to
yes.
clear,
now for
clear
that,
the building.
No, I don't think that the landlord can just do that.
So as we wrap up this segment, it's on a note of hope for Lenny in Park Slope, who may, if everything that he said is accurate and his lawyer is good enough, or his own research skills are good enough, may wind up not only being able to stay in his apartment, but getting a huge retro refund
yeah.
on rent that he's paid for 10 years.
That would be amazing. And it's happened a lot before.
That would be a home run.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, is where we have to leave it with Jaron Benjamin, Executive Director of the Metropolitan Council on Housing. But of course, Jaron, I don't have to tell you, but we see it once again on the phones, because this is not the first segment we've ever done like this, how many issues there are
right.
with rent in New York City, with people who pretty much are just following the rules
yeah.
and, you know, are getting the short end in one way or another, or find themselves in complicated situations. So how can people get this advice off the air after today?
Yeah, so after today, Met Council on Housing runs a tenant help hotline every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 1:30 to 5. And to reach us, just dial 212-979-0611, and we'll do the best that we can.
That phone number again?
It's 212-979-0611.
And we have a link on our webpage and to some of the city agencies that came up in this conversation. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jaron, thanks so much. So useful to so many folks.
Hey, thanks for having me.